Just as I am without one plea.
Good morning from your friends and neighbors at the Rock Creek Church of Christ in Ottawa, Kansas. The Rock Creek Church of Christ is glad to share this program with you. We hope it will help you as you seek to know God and what His will is for your life. On our program, we've been talking about the ministry of Jesus. On our last program, we left off in Mark chapter 9. Jesus has just informed his disciples as to the identity of the Elijah who was predicted by the prophet Malachi in Malachi chapter 4. The Elijah that was predicted was in fact John the Baptizer. The John the Baptizer had come, that he suffered many things, he was treated with contempt, and ultimately he died for his faith. In verse number 14, we run into another unusual circumstance, very unique circumstance in the ministry of Jesus. The scribes are disputing with his disciples, and he asks the scribes in verse number 16, "What are you discussing with them?" Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." All right, so we have a young man who's possessed by a demon, by an unclean spirit. And this unclean spirit throws him down and causes him to experience what we might call epileptic seizures. He's brought the boy to the disciples. And remember, the disciples do have the authority, the power to cast out demons, and yet they cannot. Jesus, in verse 19, says, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." I don't think we should take this on as exasperation on Jesus' part, but it does show some frustration. There is no reason why the disciples should not be able to cast out this spirit. So they bring the boy to Jesus. And when the spirit sees him, immediately the spirit convulsed him. The boy falls on the ground and wallows, foaming at the mouth. Jesus sees this and he asks the man, "Well, how long has this been happening to him?" And the boy's father says, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." I can't imagine how painful and distressing this must have been for the boy's father. This spirit was treating the boy so cruelly. So many times the boy had been close to death. He brings this boy to Jesus because he knows that Jesus is his only hope. Jesus responds in verse 23, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." The father's statement is a statement that I really appreciate a lot, and I can relate to it, and I'm fairly certain you can as well. As a Christian, we have belief in God, belief in Jesus, and yet there are times when doubt can creep in. Sometimes doubt can be very helpful. Intellectual doubts, for example, can help sharpen our faith. They can help sharpen our understanding of God and His ways. But sometimes our doubts are just rooted in fear, what we might call emotional doubts. And I wonder if that's what this man was experiencing at this moment. He believed in Jesus, otherwise he would not have brought the boy to him, and yet he has doubt in his heart. I appreciate the honesty of this man's response. And his faith was sufficient for the boy to be released from the power of the Spirit. Jesus in verse 25 says, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. This is a really incredible miracle. And one of the practical lessons I think we all can take away from this miracle is there are times in our life where we face a challenge that just seems impossible for us to overcome. And the words of Jesus need to come into our mind. All things are possible to him who believes. The power of faith to change a deeply entrenched habit is something that even researchers, secular researchers, are discovering. That if you just have a measure of faith, you can change your life. God has built us this way. He's built us in such a way that faith can help us to overcome some of life's greatest challenges. And if we're honest with ourselves, there will be moments where we believe, but we know we don't believe as we should. Help my unbelief. And I believe the Lord in those moments is merciful to us. He understands our frame, he knows our weakness, and he will help us in those times. So I see this as a very comforting miracle, a miracle that helps me to understand that whatever challenge I might be facing, whatever habitual sin that's deeply entrenched in me, if I can see it, if I acknowledge it, if I know that it needs to be removed, if I will just have faith in God, I can overcome. Friend, if you find yourself shackled by such sin today, believe in the name of Jesus Christ, follow after him, and you can be released from the bondage of sin. His disciples, of course, want to know why they failed so miserably. They come to Jesus in private and they ask him, "Why could we not cast it out?" So he said to them, "This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." Here is another important element to overcoming our sin. Now, there is some disagreement among scholars as to whether or not the word fasting belongs in this passage. I do want to note that fasting is something that Jesus never commands. We talked about that clear back when we studied the Sermon on the Mount, and I even took you through a study of fasting here over the radio. And one of the things that I was impressed by in my own study was, at least so far as the New Testament is concerned, fasting is never something that is commanded by the Lord. But prayer is. Prayer is something that we all can do regardless of what our medical condition may be. When we face the most difficult challenges of life, we cannot overcome those challenges without prayer. And if you are medically able, if you are able to fast, it can be helpful as well. Now, I know that we have some listeners who may be struggling with things like hypoglycemia or diabetes, where eating is very, very necessary in order for you to stay healthy. And that's one of the reasons why I believe the Lord is merciful and has not commanded us to fast. But if you are physically able, if your medical condition will allow it, then I suggest to you that prayer and fasting may be a solution that will help you overcome that habitual sin. Prayer for sure. Belief for sure. The Lord will hear your cries and he will help you. They departed from there and they passed through Galilee. And Jesus wants to maintain his anonymity once again. He didn't want anyone to know it. He continues to teach his disciples about his suffering. The Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and after he is killed, he will rise the third day. Mark tells us, though, that they did not understand this saying and were afraid to ask him. Another instance where Mark is giving us some insight into the inner workings, the thoughts of the disciples. Another indication, I believe, that Mark received his testimony about Jesus Christ from Peter. He comes to Capernaum. He's staying in a house, and he asks them about an argument they were having amongst themselves. What was it you disputed among yourselves on the road? But they kept silent, for on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. What did Jesus warn the men about in the last chapter? He warned them about the leaven of Herod. Beware of the leaven of men like Herod. What was Herod? Well, Herod was a politician, right? And that seems to be what the disciples were vying for here. Beware of treating the kingdom of heaven in a political way. They're arguing about who's going to be the greatest. He calls the 12 to them and he says, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. Greatness in the kingdom of heaven is not achieved through eloquence. It is not achieved by the greatest and most notable among us. Greatness in the kingdom of heaven is achieved by taking the lowest place, by humbling oneself, by taking on the role of a servant. Jesus takes a little child and he sets that child in their midst. And he says to them, whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. The humility, the innocence of a child, the meekness of a child, these are the qualities that will gain one greatness in the kingdom of heaven. If you want to hear one day, well done, good and faithful servant, then my friend, you need to become like a child, to adopt the humility and meekness of a child, to seek the place of serving, not to be served. That is the essence of the kingdom of heaven. We're nearly out of time today. And as we get into this next passage, Jesus is going to talk about those who go a different way than us. And he's also going to talk with us about hell and the horrors that await those who do not obey his commands.
As we draw this week's lesson to a close, your neighbors at the Rock Creek Church of Christ want you to know that God requires you to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. In Mark 16:16, Jesus promises to save those who believe and are baptized. Peter says baptism in the name of Jesus Christ is for the remission of sins in Acts 2:38. And Paul says we are baptized into Jesus, united with his death and resurrection in baptism. If you want to learn more about baptism and God's plan for salvation, please visit us at the Rock Creek Church of Christ in Ottawa, Kansas. Our church building sits 2 miles south of Walmart on Highway 59. We meet at 10 a.m. on Sundays for a Bible study, 11 a.m. for worship, and then again at 1:45 p.m. for a Bible study. We also meet on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Please join us as we worship God, encourage one another, and learn more about God's will for our lives.